You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Today on the Cooligans, we are talking about the drama that is AFCON. That seems a little redundant, but it is what it is. We also talk about FA Cup, some of the results, and what's the future look like for Everton at FA Cup.
All right. We don't talk about Arsenal at all, right? Promise me we won't. But we do talk to Giles Barnes, legend. You know him from the Jamaican national team. You know him from his time playing for so many MLS clubs. But you're going to love the interview we have with him. And he's going to get really mad at us because apparently we promised him to be on the show a long time ago. That and more today on the Cooligans.
Hi, this is Ashlyn Harris.
And Allie Krieger. And you are listening to our best friends and favorite comedians,
the Cooligans, bitch.
Yeah, baby!
Yes, let's go. Okay, all right, it's good. Please. Enough. We've done this enough. You're not going to make it to 2023, Alexis. All right. You're hitting the Nas a little early. You know what I mean?
Buddy, I'm going to lose this Fast and Furious race to you.
What is good, everybody? Welcome to the Cooligans. My name is Christian Polanco.
That's right. I'm Alexis Guerreros, and I'm a little lightheaded all of a sudden.
Okay. We are your favorite stand-up comedians that host the funniest soccer show right here on Football Sports Network.
Mm-hmm. Also happens to be the gulliest. You feel me?
Correct. And we're excited, absolutely thrilled about today's show because we're going to be joined by an Englishman who brought his talents to the United States for a minute, okay? Giles Barnes will That's be joining right. us in a little bit, obviously.
East London, stand up.
Let's go. Our dear friend. Look, honestly, we're going to have to start talking to him, just really apologizing because it's been long overdue that he's belonged on this show.
He's one of those people where we're like, dude, of course we'll have you. In fact, why don't we get you on in a couple of weeks? And then that couple of weeks, you know, grew a little bit. But it's not our fault. It's
exactly.
not our fault.
Nope. Couldn't be.
He blamed us, but it's not our fault, I promise.
So absolutely thrilled to be talking to Giles Barnes in a little bit, so stick around for that. But let's start today talking some AFCON, okay? The Africa Cup of Nations is going on right now. We all know how the tournament is often disrespected when it's talked about in the media. Usually in European leagues are like, oh, we got to send our players to this thing.
There's something about it where they're like, oh, this old thing, they don't even, it's not even like they don't break for it or anything, they're just
right,
whatever, you know. People make fun of MLS because they have to send their players away on international, but you guys are doing the same thing when it comes to AFCON. Right,
exactly. So it's obviously a wildly important tournament for the continent, and all the big players got, you know, Sadio Mane is there, Mohamed Salah. Obviously huge figures that are playing in this.
I was about to say Benghazi, and that's not a player.
Okay.
I was thinking of El Ghazi and Ben Rama at the same time. And I love you. We're going to have a different audience space for this show.
I want to see where El Ghazi puts his email server. Okay.
We got to get to the bottom of this thing on this show. We shifted this whole show.
Oh, you use Gmail? You would, wouldn't you?
You 100%. We got a lot of people with the tinfoil hats watching this show.
Okay, look, well, this is an audience we haven't reached out to.
And where were you?
I was just watching AFCON on BN Sport. What happened? Anyway. So look, obviously a huge tournament, but we have to talk about a very controversial moment. This was between
which one? Which controversial moment? Was it the
opening whistle of the first game?
Yeah, hold on. Because let me tell you something. It gets a little CONCACAFy, a little Comnaboli out there.
They learned a little something from us, okay?
Okay. There's a lot of spice, you know, happening. Was it the other coach taking a picture with or the opposing team's coach taking a picture with Mohamed Salah?
Right.
Is that the controversial moment you're talking about?
I'm not even talking about that one. Which is that was the news, and you know, that's when you really have to struggle to find something for the headline. You're like, uh-huh. Mohamed Salah, you know, the Nigerian assistant took a photo with Mohamed Salah. How could he? Oh my! And then it's like, no, forget all that. Look, I got something better.
Because and then all of a sudden, you see some real controversy.
Tunisia and Mali. Uh-huh. This game ended a 1-0 victory for Mali, but this was a in the 85th minute.
But the referee
minute.
Was malo.
muy malo, because okay. the referee blew the final whistle at the 85th minute.
Let me read, because this is, so you know, obviously if you ever have like these apps that tell you what's happening from minute to minute, like big moments, this is the 86th minute. This is the official news for The Guardian. It's a good website. They got a lot of, you know, they're very proper on The Guardian. And this is what they wrote. What's going on? Tunisian staff look bewildered as the referee appears to blow for full time, even though several minutes remain. Mm-hmm. No one quite knows what's going on. ... And then the ref signals for play to continue. What was that whistle for? ? That's like, normally this just says goal. This person passed to this person, but they're putting a little bit of personality in
there.
Yeah,
usually the minute-to-minute updates don't have emojis in them. You know what I mean? They're usually a little bit more.
Yo, it's getting lit. Yo, put this on. Stop reading. It says that.
What you reading for, nerd? Turn on your TV.
This ain't Moby Dick, my G. Put it on.
So whistle's blown, right?
He ends the match at what, 80?
It's like the
87 and 36 minutes. The 87 minute and 36 seconds.
This is unbelievable. I've never seen anything like this. I'm giving the benefit of the doubt and to say that it's incompetence rather than corruption, but look, I had to put it out there.
What you just said might be a sign of corruption on this show. You know, this might be our Benghazi.
Am I in AFCON's pocket? I am.
Who's paying you, Christian? And why am I not getting a cut? That's the important part. Because this is very clearly a sign. The only time I've ever seen, like, I remember in like seventh grade, I was playing on the soccer team and they blew the whistle in like the 80th minute because they're like, we got to get off the pitch. Match started late. So they're that's it. We only rented it for so long, but this is a national competition.
Oh, sure,
I don't
think
that's the case. I don't think they need the field for, you know, field hockey practice.
The U8s are coming on right after this. They get really angry when they can't play.
Guys, the Big Apple Circus is about to start. What are we supposed to do? They got to get the elephants on here, so we gotta go. This is ridiculous. I've never heard. This is official. This match is official. And by the way, it didn't stop there. I guess he allowed them to play on. The ref is advised through, he gives a red card for barely anything to a Malian player. Then they make him go to the screen. He barely looks at it, says he's right. 90th minute without extra time, blows for the well, actually it wasn't even, it was 89 minutes and 47 seconds. He blows the final whistle again. He's like, that's it. But this dude had to go to the bathroom. I swear this dude had to take a shit.
I think
that's
dude,
the only thing I can
he,
think
he
of.
He had his watch on a different time zone, bro. Like, it's on a completely different, this is
but
unbelievable.
But then half an hour later, only the Tunisian players come back on. The Mali team reviewed. They won. Why would they come back?
Yeah, there's no reason. Like, no reason why they would come back.
No. We gotta go.
Do you see? No, I 3 points. That's the only number I know. Incredible. I don't. We'll see what's gonna happen. Obviously, to me, this ref gets suspended and is not doing. You know, he's not
investigated. Forget suspended.
I mean, look, we gotta start somewhere. All right. Remember, AFCON ain't so bad. You know, I have to make sure I say positive things and really.
That's right. Right. You gotta keep that check coming. I feel bad. I hope I didn't mess up your bag, Christian.
Shh, you gotta keep it quiet, bro. Here we are, bro.
All right. I'm sure you want to talk about FA Cup. I don't. Not really into it. I think it's a small competition that doesn't matter. And frankly, I'm glad Arsenal has never really cared about it. You know what? Obviously, I'm kidding.
Why don't you, if you don't care, why don't you give us all those FA Cup trophies you have recently?
No. Again, we're the winningest, side in its history. Mm-hmm. We've won it 14 times, more than anybody else. Thank you very much. But we will not be adding to that tally this year because we lost to Nottingham Forest, who we lost in the same third round to in 2018. I'm starting to see a bit of a pattern. Look, super frustrating. Mikel Arteta has come out and said he's questioned the desire of his players. And I think it's, as much as this sucks, the next match in the Premier League for us is the North London Derby. So I'm like, look, if you're going to take an L, do it in the FA Cup, not against Tottenham. So I think we're going to need as much energy going into and as much of a chip on our shoulder and as much to prove as possible going into this North London Derby. So maybe I'm just glossing over because we lost. And if we would have won, I would have been like, I told you so, baby. And we go in the North London Derby with a big old W. I would be saying something totally different, but it feels like fine. If we had to hit a snag, I'm glad we did it there and not against Tottenham.
I mean, it wasn't a complete like collapse for Arsenal. It was just a 1-0
loss. It didn't look good. We didn't have a shot on goal.
It wasn't great, but you know, you're gonna have a couple stinkers from time to time. It just happened to be in a elimination match, so it was unfortunate. The surprise,
and against a championship side.
I mean, look, I just witnessed Everton a couple months ago lose against a championship side in the Carabao Cup, but losing in penalties doesn't make it any easier, but it is it happens, and I guess it's probably a little bit more shocking that it happened to Arsenal given the quality of players that they had, but they just did not play well in that game. Although Everton did have a successful FA Cup third round. They
shocking,
played against
shocking. You were excited Hull. To talk about this subject. You know, I'm just
played against Hull. Look, I have to boast about just literally every positive thing that happens for Everton Football Club, because this was a win against Hull City in extra time. Probably shouldn't have gone to extra time, but there was an incredible curler outside the box. It was an unbelievable goal that got around Begovic. But Andros Townsend, golazo towards the in the first half of extra time. So this is, could Everton possibly maybe even get to a semifinal here? Is it? I mean, once anything can happen.
You're planning the semifinal parade already?
It's the magic of the FA Cup, okay, Alexis?
Well, you know, imagine they win the FA Cup the same year you held the FA Cup Everton. How crazy would that be?
I mean, there's going to have to be a routine, an annual thing where I have to go and hold every FA Cup that we win, because we will never lose another FA Cup.
Also,
tournament.
If that works, then I'm going to take you to a sandwich shop and get you to hold some sandwiches that I want. You know what I mean? Just to see if maybe it's the magic of Christian's hands.
Sure. Let me touch all of Alexis's food before he eats it. He'll love that.
Yeah, actually, I'm a bit of a germaphobe. Put some gloves on.
That's a great idea. But the idea of look, anything can happen in these matches. Everton could have lost that game, right? But
it's also unfair. The VAR isn't even in every stadium.
Yeah,
it's stupid.
That's a strange thing. It's either you should, similar to CONCACAF in the World Cup qualifiers, where if every stadium can't have it, then no stadiums can have it. And this is a strange thing where you would have VAR in certain games and not in others.
It's only after the third round, but only in games hosted in Premier League stadiums, which makes no sense.
Yeah,
it's a TV. You can't bring one.
it was
a small TV and a hood.
There was like a questionable handball, right, in the Arsenal game where it could have been a penalty, and there's no VAR. It was in Nottingham Stadium, so really, it just sucks. I mean, it is what it is. But they should realistically either have it everywhere or not have it at all.
And then VAR changes the United versus Aston Villa match Because they go 3.5, 4 minutes of stoppage before the dude even goes, looks at the screen. This makes no sense.
Okay, bro. Again, the magic of the FA Cup. You know, they're watching AFCON and they're like, you know what? I like the chaos.
We should jazz it up a little bit, you know?
All right, now we have to talk about some Erling Haaland. And also, remember, we're going to be talking to Giles Barnes in just a little bit. So please stick around. But let's talk about Erling Haaland and the future of his career because, you know, especially with Borussia Dortmund and really not getting the results that I think he would have expected when he went there. He's probably leaving a lot sooner than I think a lot of people expected. It's going to be a big money move and we'll see, kind of like Cardi B planned it.
She only makes money moves.
Okay.
Also, there's a release clause, so it's really not that big of a money move. I think if he didn't have a release clause, he'd probably be worth about like 130 million.
Okay. Yeah.
Right.
So he's gonna. So the rumor is the most recent one is Manchester City. That is probably the leading candidate for Erling Haaland. We also know.
I'm not so sure because I heard him, you know, speaking in tongues. You feel me?
That's right. I'm like, why would you say that about your mother tongue, Alexis?
He was caught speaking Spanish, which you don't think of when you think of a Norwegian, you know, who plays in Germany.
You say caught like TMZ found them.
Because this is spicy news. What are you talking about? This is big. This could get people to think he's going to Real Madrid, which was a rumor for a long time, which maybe makes Manchester City pay him more, you know, every week. Which, if I was his agent, this is what I would do. You know,
so Erling Haaland, obviously, Borussia Dortmund were playing against Eintracht Frankfurt. There was Erling Haaland got the ball at the corner flag, he got fouled by the Colombian player Rafael Borre, and they started fighting a little bit, and Erling Haaland starts speaking Spanish to him, and he says, "¿Qué pasa, hermano?" Which is like great. I'm just like.
Is that speaking Spanish or is that like one of those things that like everybody knows?
Yeah,
you know
like
what I mean?
¿Dónde está la biblioteca type of thing?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, hombre, you know, one of them joints.
I don't know. It seems like he's learning. It seems like he's learning like, you know, South Central LA of Spanish. ¿Qué pasa, hermano?
I was going to say, because that don't sound very, you know, capital of Spain Spanish. You feel me?
Yo, it's all good. If he's learning from, like, you know, the watching Training Day or whatever, like, that's cool. I'll take it. It'd be dope to see.
I would love
to see Erling Haaland the Cholo, okay?
Yeah, he shows up to Real Madrid, and the first thing is, they ask him a question like, "What's it feel to be like?" And he's like, "Oye, yo soy muy orgulloso. Hace jugador." And they're like, "Where did you learn?"
Damn, yo, he's just like, "Hey, Erling Haaland, what does it feel like to be in Real Madrid? What's up, fool? Let's go. I'm ready."
Yo, the taller the socks, the downer the fool. He's got socks past his knees. You can't play in Chucks, my G. You gotta wear actual boots.
Love it though, but look, that seems to be Manchester City seems to be obviously his father played there, and there's obviously a lot of history, a lot of connection. This is one interesting thing. I think even if he goes to Manchester City, I don't know how long Pep Guardiola is going to be there, so I think that might influence his decision on whether he goes there or not, because his manager may not end up being Pep Guardiola, at least for not very long.
Well, what is it? It's Manchester City. They're not going to end up with, you know, a Sam Allardyce, you know what I mean?
I know that.
They're going to be fine. If it's not Pep, they're going to be just fine.
I'm just saying it might influence where he goes because there's also very good managers in some of the other clubs that he has offers from. So we'll see.
Dude, you're drunk. I think you're still, how much are you getting paid by AFCON? When we get back, we got Giles Barnes. Hey, thanks so much for listening to this podcast episode. We just want to break in with a word from one of our sponsors. Actually, it's us, and it's our Twitch channel.
That's right. You know, you've seen us on Fubo TV. You've listened to us on the podcast. Maybe you've clicked like on one of our personal seductive photos on Instagram. Okay.
You know how we love those thotty pics.
Okay. We know the game, all right? We're not going
to... Anything for likes and views, baby.
Yo, that's what you got to do nowadays. But we're also on Twitch. We live stream every Tuesday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time,
or Prem Show. But we do other stuff as well. We do watch-alongs. We interview people. We play FIFA, and we're gonna be doing a lot more stuff on there. So join us on Twitch. Hit the follow button. It is free.
That's right. So just go to twitch.tv/soccercooligans, or make it easy for yourself and just go to eltwitche.com. That's eltwitche.com. And that'll bring you right to our account. And hit that follow button right now. What you waiting for? All right, Christian, our guest is finally here, and we are honored to have this man on. We got to hang out with this dude in Orlando, and 5 minutes into the conversation, I was like, you need to be on our show immediately. You know?
5 minutes into the conversation, I was like, you need to be our best friend. This is clearly, we need to
also,
be homies for life.
Are we also from London? You know? Why do we all get along so well? But this dude is a legend. Let's see, Derby, West Brom, all the way to Houston, the Houston Dynamo, Whitecaps, Jamaica, and now adding to that resume, he's adding the Cooligans, because you know he's about to shut it down. Ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together for the one, the only, Giles Barnes, everybody.
Hey, Giles, what's good?
I got a little bone to pick with you, actually. Don't hype me up after you've been dodging me, you know? Like, before, okay. Let's get off the jump first and foremost, yeah? Like, don't try and gas me up in front of everyone after you've been, like, mocking me for, like, months, you know? Like, give everyone the backstory. Don't
okay.
Don't try. So we're going to edit all this out, Giles.
We met at Florida Cup over the summer. We were going to go see Everton play against Arsenal. Arsenal didn't show up, similar to like the FA Cup match just recently. So Arsenal,
hilarious. No need. Yeah.
Anyway,
we can't hear you from all the way down there in the Premier League table. So go ahead.
Say it again.
So we were working with the folks from Florida Cup, and we got to host the charity game, the All-Star game, and that's where we met. We met you while we were there in prepping before. For the match, and I would say we hit it off, but we exchanged numbers. We were like, yo, you got to do the show. And look, I'll be honest, there was a slight delay to get you on.
June, roughly.
Look, Giles, I didn't want to bring this up, but every time I said, yo, let's get Giles on, Christian was like, no, not yet. And I'm like, I don't know why you're delaying.
You know what? I know that fact as well, because Alexis, you've been hitting me up on the line. Christian's been ghosting, yep.
I just respect people's boundaries. Alexis is a little different than me. That's all.
Alexis, you know, he knows I'm a foodie as well. So, you know, we've been sharing the food stuff and all that, you know, so it's been
but
good.
Why? Why do we eat the same but look so different? It's very upsetting.
Oh my, I just said Alexis, nothing. My Alexa just turned on. Look at that.
Yeah.
Yo,
that's gonna happen.
People be watching, bro. I'm telling you.
Yeah.
That happens to me literally all the time.
You know Jeff Bezos is like, damn, man.
Yeah,
every damn time.
Trying to tune in.
Giles, dude, I'm glad you're finally on the show. Yes, it's an absolute honor. Like I said, we've been watching you for years playing MLS. At least for me, that's when I first got introduced to you. You know, scoring on my team and, you know, getting frustrated with you. But then after getting to meet you, I'm like, yo, this is one of the coolest down-to-earth dudes that this league has ever seen. One thing I want to start with, what's going on right now for Giles Barnes? Because your last Instagram post I just saw, you got your USSF coaching license. You are the level B, I believe. I think that's the first one?
Yeah. It's the first one I've done. Okay. I was lucky enough, fortunate enough that that goes off of where you've played. So, you know, I'd accumulated enough amount of years where I'd reached a level where I could just go straight into the B. So I was able to jump to that.
Okay. Yeah, so what was that experience like? What are we expecting? Giles Barnes, head coach of a club anytime soon?
Or is the next time your head coach, while you're playing, says, yo, do this, you'd be like, look, I got my B license. That's not how it's done.
I got this. Step back now. I got this. You know what I'm saying? I heard enough of your rubbish. This is not how we're doing it. This sounds gonna work. Honestly, you know, fellas, this is about, it's about knowledge, right? So obviously, my career is coming towards the end. I'm fortunate enough that I'm still getting offers to go and play. But I've been coaching now for almost a year, you know, privately, and I actually part own a club in Orlando, a youth club that's grown really quickly. So I've done that, and it's kind of been my COVID project. So, I'm not too sure. I've not officially hung up the boots, but I know there's still some magic left in there somewhere. Maybe if the right opportunity comes along, we'll wait and see, you know. But I'm just trying to just figure out my next path anyway, and I feel that I've known football my whole life, right? Like, I don't really know much else, to be honest with you, in any kind of sense. So I might as well just go and follow it, innit?
Okay, I respect the humility, you know?
Everybody else's COVID, you know, project is making sourdough bread. Giles Barnes started a wildly successful youth club.
Nah,
so
bro,
what are you doing?
That's your COVID project, the sourdough bread.
No, my COVID project is eating sourdough bread. I ain't trying to make it. I'm trying to put the butter and jam on it.
I'm feeling it.
I want to talk to you about your career, because you started wild young. If I'm not mistaken, you signed your first professional contract on your 17th birthday.
Yeah, so, I mean, I officially signed on my 17th birthday. I actually had my pro promised to me from the age of 15, so I waited 2 years to sign it. But I already had it waiting. It was a strange one, because I was at a different club, and they had already promised me a pro contract and a full scholarship. They took me out of school, which is why I blame that I don't really know anything. I left school at 14. You know,
this is what the English do. I mean,
they tell your parents, like, he's got class and all that, but they're like, don't worry about all that.
Yeah, don't worry about school. We'll figure that out. We've got this IT room. It'll be really good for him. I don't know if I went in the IT room once. I swear. I don't even remember going in there. I remember the first day when they took me and my parents, and I was like, yeah, he'll do his schoolwork in here. I don't remember visiting it again. Like, never. Never. I'm not even going to check my Hotmail at the time. Nothing. Swear.
The next day you open that door and it's just boots and kits, and you're like, what happened to all the IT stuff? No, that's just when parents come around.
I'm telling you, it was like the Harry Potter wall or something, you know, and it turns and switches. It was like one of those.
They were like, computers are for virgin. Get this out of here.
I see it once. I promise. So I got no schoolwork done. Like, you know, jokes aside, I left school sharply. I never got a GED. I never graduated high school. So all my energy was put into football. I was actually at Nottingham Forest, which is Derby County's rival. And Derby ended up buying me from Forest. What was I, 14? I think I was. And part of that was, you know, Forest needed some money at the time. And I don't know what they thought I would either become a professional or not. So it was just one of those things. Well, someone's offering us money for our kids, we'll take it. So I ended up leaving. I went to Derby. And then about a year and a half later, I was traveling with the first team every week, training with the first team, played in the reserves, I think, before my 15th birthday. And it just kind of went up and up from there. I was fortunate. I dedicated a lot of time to it. You get that little bit of luck at someone that fancies you, you know, someone that thinks, oh, he's actually a good player, is what you need nowadays. I just kind of ran with it. And then football took me all over the world and took me to meet you guys, more importantly, you know, the Florida Cup.
Right.
Dude, it done me for 6 months.
Your journey is pretty fascinating. And as far as, like, you know, when you got to, like, at least Major League Soccer, it was probably the heyday of, why are you going to go? I'm sure you got some, like, why are you going to go there? Retirement league, this, you're too young and all this stuff. But you kind of came to, I don't know, maybe revitalize your career. And so what was that experience like, kind of like when you first arrived, and how were you kind of like received?
You know what, for me, it was a blessing. Please don't take this out of context, but I was a bit of not a superstar as a young kid, but there was a lot of hype around me. You know, I was playing in the Premier League from 18 years old. I'd had bids knocked back from me from 9-10 million pounds. Like, there was a lot of hype around me, and I got injured really badly. You know, I hurt my knee and I was told to retire later on that year. So I was only 18. I was a kid. So after having all this hype around me and then going to that, you know, I managed to come back and played a couple games for Derby, and then I went on loan to Fulham. I had this like whirlwind. I was out for like 19 months or something with my knee.
Wow.
They told me I was never going to play again. And I came back. I played two games, one against Coventry, I believe, and then one against Man United. And then I ended up scoring two goals in the game against Man United. And then the next
thing.
That
was the cup, right?
In
that
the
was a cup,
cup
match.
In the cup. Yeah. Come on as a sub. Because I wasn't even fit. You know, I'd been out for so long. I wasn't even fit. And then, you know, scored two goals in that game. Boom. Phone starts ringing again. And there was probably about 6 or 7 clubs to go to. And a lot bigger ones than Fulham, actually. And that's not being disrespectful to Fulham. But for me, I picked Fulham because I was like, man, this would be a club for me to go to. And, you know, it's not too much of a bigger club than Derby. Maybe you play in the Premier League a little bit longer, but it's the same kind of feel. And I'll play. That was my thing. I need to play. I've been out for 18, 19 months. I need to play. Like, I don't know how long my knee's going to last, like if it lasts. So I need to try and make the most out of it. And so, yeah, I went to Fulham. Everything was going well. I wasn't up to match fitness. You know, I've been out a long time, played two games. So I kind of carried on and I played like six games. I think I scored like five goals against Tottenham, Arsenal, like in the reserves. And Roy Hodgson pulls me before we played Stoke, I believe it was. And he says, you're going to be involved this weekend. Just get through like 50 minutes of this game, last little bit. So I'm buzzing. Ring my dad, everything before. Like, yeah, done it. Like 2 years and we've got to it. We've got it. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, and by the way, without him, I wouldn't be nowhere because I wanted to quit. I was over it. I was like, the days I was not doing this no more. Like, I don't like it.
I'm glad Roy Hodgson was such an inspiration.
No, I met my dad, not Roy Hodgson. Yeah. Yeah, I'm not talking about Roy, that's for sure. Yeah. No, I'm kidding. I've got a lot of time for Roy, man. He's a good guy. And then snapped my Achilles in that game. Yeah, snapped my Achilles in that game. Well, partially tore my Achilles in that game. And that put me out until the end of that season. I had to have surgery. And then I had the surgery and Derby and Fulham couldn't agree on a fee of what it would be because Fulham still wanted to sign me. But I think at the time it was like 4 million, but I hadn't played a game, you know, and it'd be going on. Just mashed up my knee, smashed up my Achilles. They're thinking, no, we'll give you $1 million for $1 million. But Derby was like, nah, like it's not happening. Like, so went back to Derby, manager was Nigel Clough. He did some of the most craziest stuff to me I've ever had in my life, to be treated like as a 18-19 year old boy who's just come back from I was 21 at the time, sorry, because it was 2 years on 2021, to be treated like that after you've nearly, you know, had to retire, for him to go like that and treat me how he did, because I wanted to go on, you know, I didn't know how long my career was going to last and I wanted to go and play in the Premier League, and he asked me a question. He got me in his office before I went to Fulham. And he's like, yeah, so this club's come in for you. You want to, if you go, even though it's only a loan, if you come back, you'll never play for me again. And I was like, boy, I said, I'm eight. You know, I need to go and play. Like, I want to go and fulfill my dream. I didn't come all this way. Yeah, man, there's some, football's weird, bro. Like, let me tell you, football's got some funny characters, man.
And that's like when your girl's like, if you go out with your friends, I'm not gonna be here when you get back. Like,
but the difference she really weren't there when I got back. I had to go back.
Oh, you meant it.
Yeah. You were like, oh damn. Are you on the phone with a divorce attorney already? How is that possible?
Well, it seems like there's like a level of pettiness or vindictiveness with either coaches or general managers, because I mean, you can talk about this in more detail if you like, but I, you know, your time, you were supposed to go back to England, right? That was like the
plan. It was a promise in MLS.
Because you were killing it in MLS at Houston, and it was like the move was just to go back and you know, you revitalize your career, like I mentioned before, and that didn't really work out the way you planned, right?
You know, just being real with you, I almost quit football after a few years. I got back. I never ever felt the same again. I never felt like the same player. And football became miserable to me. Miserable. I couldn't move the same. I didn't enjoy football anymore. So, you know, I went to West Brom, played in the Premier League again with them. And then I went to Doncaster and played in the Championship.
I do want to mention, though, while you were at West Brom, you beat Everton 4-1. But okay, so sorry.
Okay. That was a note just that Christians we here. Made sure we had to mention, right?
Some of those facts, don't leave them out. If you got them, Alexis, spill, please, isn't it? Please.
Yeah. Please. I got it.
Yeah, make sure. Just please. So, you know, I come to America because I come to an end. I was like, I'm not doing this no more. I just want to change my life. Like, because I just didn't feel the same. I wasn't the same person. I wasn't the same player. Like, and it made me, you know, it's weird to say it now. Like, saying it back then would have been crazy, but now it's so much with your mental. You know, I was depressed for a long time. Like, I was like, you know, I was here. And then I felt like I was rock bottom and couldn't just never get out, like, in pain every day. Like, I didn't move the same, even though, you know, people still, oh, he's still good. Like, you don't feel it. I never recovered. Like, it's hand on heart. I never recovered from it. And so I came to America and it was a conversation with my dad because I was like, oh, I'm not doing it for like, well, I'm not doing this no more. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm done. And I was, 23, I think. I was like, I'm over it. I'm not doing this no more. I hate it. Hate everything about it. And especially with the press and that in England, and like, everyone's always in your face. Like, you can always hear, you know, it's like, oh, what happened to Giles? You know what I'm saying? Like, because we kept my injury pretty under wraps because it was so close to me retiring and Derby didn't want to leak it and that kind of stuff. You know, maybe at the time, you know, I wish I'd have had someone to talk to. Like, it wasn't family, just that I could unload. You know, there was nights I spent crying myself to sleep, nights, days in rehab when I couldn't move. Like, and it carried on for years, bruv. Like, you know, and you know, that's why mental health is so important in football now, because people are like more aware of it. Like, those things are so depressing. You know, you come thinking you're about to get into, you know, playing the Premier League for the rest of your life or whatever. And next thing you know, you're a free agent. And it's like, wow, how did that happen in 2 years, 3 years? And it's just from injury. But yeah, I come to America just to enjoy my life. I was like, yeah, I'm gone. Like, allow it. I'm just going to go and enjoy my football if I can. If not, I'm going to enjoy my life. That's one thing. I always wanted to live in America. And actually, I got duped by MLS, though. I think I told you.
The way you told the story is perfect.
Yeah.
And then MLS fucks me up.
Yeah. And MLS just got that way of just saying, yeah, I don't think so. So the agent called me randomly out of the blue. And he's like, oh, I've got LA Galaxy ready. I'm like, what? Yeah, LA Galaxy? Thinking, yeah, Bex is there. Oh, you know, you start growing a couple of... LA, yeah, I can do the beach. Yeah, sounds like exactly what I need. So anyway, a couple of weeks go by, the agent gone quiet a little bit, and then he hits me up and he's like, oh yeah, no, there is MLS do want you, like MLS want you, but Houston Dynamo have your rights. So I'm like, oh god. I'm thinking, Houston, what is that? Texas? Cowboys. You know this thing. Cowboys and steak. Thinking to myself, boy, it's not really much for me out there still. And then end up going out. I speak to the president, Chris Canetti, still a good friend of mine, actually, and Dom Kinnear, who's probably one of the most still influential people on me for my career and how he treated me to get me back on track. I've got love for him. Big, big, big love. Called me, said, yeah, come out to Houston. We want to see you, you know. And I was like, nah, what? Trial and MLS? And I was like, oh, it's not really a trial, but, you know, you've had these injuries and we're in the middle of the season. Like, we're ready to go into playoffs. We need to see if you can actually play. So I go out, I think, yeah, cool. I get there, step off the plane. Lava hits my face. It's warm. Don't know what's going on.
English blood of yours ain't ready for that humidity, boy.
Listen, I stepped out. I was in the sauna. I was like, oh, no, this is a mockery. How am I going to play in this? Anyway, get down, get into a hotel, put me in a nice hotel, go straight to the game, boom. Stadium's wicked. I'm like, oh, okay, yeah, I see where this is going. And then the next day, we have training. It's the people that haven't trained. So obviously, I go in, it's training. And I see people in cut-off sleeves and now I'm thinking, oh, cut-off sleeves in around August. Yeah, yeah, right. Can't be that hot. So anyway, I put my little cut-off sleeve thing on, get outside. Boom. I'm standing in the oven. I'm like, rah. It's nuts. Like, what have I got myself into?
And everyone, you're like, is the stadium air conditioned? Is there anything you can do for me?
And you know, the thing is, I'm not fit. Like, because like the season had already started in England and I'd missed preseason. So I get there and I'm thinking, all right, cool. Let me just try and cruise through to just show your quality in it. Like, don't worry about your fitness, it will come. And there's just people running around like they're lunatics out there. And I'm thinking to myself, man, if something don't fall to me soon, we're out on the ball and show I got a little spice about me or something, like I'm in trouble because I can't run. Javon Watson was playing in midfield and I ended up playing with the country as well. And this man can just run and run. And I'm thinking, so I can't run with this man. Are you mad? Like, you lost the plot. Anyway, I actually do pretty well in the game that we play because it's like, you know, not resis and like people didn't play a lot. But it was on the big field. It was like, I think it was still 11v11 because we had the kids come up and that. And anyway, a free kick falls outside the edge of the box. And I'm like, yeah, yeah, this is my time to shine. Let me just bang this in it. So Corey Ash gets to step on the ball. And he's like, you want this? I'm like, yeah, I want this, bro. Like, what do you mean? And he's like, what do you want? I said, just roll it to me. All right. Rolls it to me. Bam. Far corner. I'm like, yeah. At least they see I can do a little bit because I can't bloody run today.
And then, you've never wanted an ice bath after a match so bad.
Ice bath? I needed more than that, man. I needed to fly home. What do you mean? Ice bath? I need to fly home.
It's like the first person to miss English weather, you know?
you wouldn't believe it was a madness. And then, so I go and speak to Dom and Chris after, and they're like, yeah, you know, we want to sign you. This is like, you're healthy enough. You've shown us enough in a training session. And then the rest is history, really. Got myself into MLS. But again, it wasn't plain sailing for that first like 4 or 5 months. I think I pulled my groin, tore my quad. So I didn't really play much when I first came here, you know, and you know, they wasn't happy with me. Towards the end of that year, they was like, you know, we can't give you that, you know, the extension that you wanted, the price you wanted, because you didn't end up playing. So I ended up coming to MLS like on not a lot of money at all, just because I enjoyed it, you know. And then I came back the following season and just completely changed. Like I did a lot of hard work in the off season when I went home, just tried to change everything, you know, because I enjoyed it. My time, my 3-4 month period that I was here, I enjoyed it so much. Like I have to go back. Like I have to, like, I enjoyed it. Like, let me try and do the most I can. If my knee fails me, if my Achilles fails me, that's God. I can't do it, but at least I can be in the most tip top condition. And then went in, and then that year coming back, I ended up top goal scorer. The year after was top goal scorer, MVP, players player, like all that kind of stuff. And that's when I tried to go back to England. And as you said, you know, it didn't quite happen.
you did England to US. Daryl Dike, who played in Orlando, who started in Orlando, is going from Orlando to West Brom, a team you played for. What do you think? How do you think he's going to do? First of all, championship is a very physically demanding league. How would you compare that to MLS? And any advice you'd want to give a player like Daryl Dike, if he were to ask you, what do you think it's like for that transition going from US to England?
He went Barnsley, innit? He went Barnsley before.
Originally.
Yeah, but Barnsley's not really like, again, I don't want to sound disrespectful, it's not West Brom. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like when you're playing in Barnsley's team, you ain't getting a lot of the ball, you know what I'm saying? And he did really well in that Barnsley team. He has a lot of attributes that suit England. Like he's big, he's powerful, he's strong, he's quick enough. Technically, he probably needs to, just in my opinion, I think he needs to clean up to be a top striker. But he's got all the fundamentals, right? Like he's big, he can hold the ball. And when he sets it and goes, there's not many people that can catch him, you know? Like, yeah. And he scores goals, regardless of whatever like you think. He went away and scored, I don't know, 12 goals for Barnsley, came back and scored 14 goals for Orlando. It's going to be a 30-goal season, you know, in two different leagues. So I think he's going to be good, especially with the kind of service he'll get at a club like West Brom, because they've got some top players even in the championship, you know. So yeah. I'm excited to see how he does, honestly. And I hope they go up, because I like to see the stereotype of MLS and English football being obliterated. I love to see Like, I hate people that say, oh, MLS ain't this and MLS ain't that, because it's one of the more physical leagues I've ever played in. Like, that's hard to play in. It's hard to play in. If your legs don't go, you don't go nowhere. You know what I'm saying? Like, no matter how good you are on the ball, you've seen big players come here that are really good on the ball. And he's all right. Yeah, all right. And you think, hold on, he's played Champions League. How's he all right? Like, so it's not a retirement league. People look at it funny. And there's people coming here now, you know, like Giovinco came here, smashed it, got a massive move again. You know, who else has just gone? Chris Mueller's just gone from Orlando. Or Almiron, the big one. Almiron went from here. Like, there's a lot of players going over there. And I love to see it, because it's getting the respect it deserves. Like, there's some really good players over here, that not just American players, there's South American players, you know, Africans, whatever you want, the Caribbean players, all that are capable of playing. This is just now the platform is being highlighted, because there's been so many good players out there. But now when they go over their countries, you know, people are playing for like Haiti and that, you know what I'm saying, going to play against big teams, Chile and that, all that kind of stuff, and they're bossing the teams, and people are like, where are these players playing? MLS. You know what I'm saying? Right. Venezuela, well, no one was thinking about that, you know. Joseph Martinez made it hot, everyone, you know what I'm saying, he did. Everyone's like, oh yeah, there's got to be some good players in Venezuela now. Leon Bailey,
what about Jamaica?
You know,
well, what about Jamaica?
You know, Andre Blake, play anywhere he wants, man. I don't care what anyone says. Anyway, right. He can go and play in any league, in any... I'm telling you, that guy is unbelievable. He should, like, I know he's got a great contract in MLS now and all that kind of stuff, but let me tell you, Blakey, he could have played in any single team I've ever played in. Any team. That's how good he is. But, you know, we couldn't get work permits. We couldn't get work permits for Jamaicans. You can't. It's another thing that kills you, isn't it? Like, people can't go over there, because I remember, I think it was West Ham or something, Palace wanted Blakey, and he couldn't get over because he didn't have a work permit. But there's talent in every single country, don't let, like, and it's cool because MLS has that much of a melting pot and a mix of everything where people can actually, like, stage what they've got, and it's brilliant.
Yeah,
I love you. Shout out to the work permit issue that lets us keep some of these dope players out here. You know?
let it do it for the league. You know what I'm saying? Don't worry about going to Europe. You know,
but you know what? No, we got you.
I love what you're saying. People now.
Right. Yeah. I love what you're saying about sort of breaking that like sort of stereotype, because even when we went to London, literally when we arrived to London, we got stopped by customs and they were asking like, what are you in London from? What are you doing? And we're saying, oh, we're here to watch some matches because we do a soccer show back in the States. Bruh, the customs agent was like, excuse me?
They stopped investigating other people. Three of them came out. And like,
It's football, man. Yo, yeah, relax.
Why don't you guard your border instead of yelling to Americans?
Unbelievable, man. Well, Giles, look, we have to get you back on because there's too much to discuss. But unfortunately, we got to move on to the next thing.
We got to go to Orlando and just do a whole Barnes long form. That's what we need to do.
We should do it. It's taking you long enough to get me here so we can do it.
So we ain't never going to live that down.
Let's get to our Golazo gift. This is your opportunity to celebrate a goal. Alexis will give you a scenario. You can celebrate the goal. We will turn it into a gift that will live on the internet forever. So you can do whatever you like. Alexis will give you a scenario. So Alexis, what do you suggest for Mr. Barnes?
All right. Here's the scenario. All right. I know you get offers. One of the offers you get is a phone call from the head coach of the Jamaican national team. You guys are in sixth place right now in CONCACAF World Cup qualifying. It's looking like you might not make it. But let's say it gets down to that final match. Yo, we need you, Giles. Get down here. We need you to represent your country. You get down there. You get in there in the 90th minute, and you score the same free kick you scored in that Houston Dynamo prep. They rolled it to you. You score. But just before you went on, they said, hey, if you score and you make us win this match, we will give you all of that money that you should have been transferred for when you were in England, but you got injured. So all them offers, you get all that lump sum right now. So what's that, about 20, 30 million? You score, you get that 20, 30 all together. You get $30 million for that goal. How do you celebrate? Off the table. I can see his movement. Mad chill.
Okay. You just drinking tea, and instead of using like a coaster, you're just using stacks of money. You know?
Stacks of money. I wish you could collect all the money that you think you've earned, you know? If you mind it, let me know.
Giles, thank you so much, man. An absolute honor to have you on the show, for real. Is there anything you want to let people know about before we let you go? Anything you may want to plug?
Actually, you know, as I said earlier, I started a youth club in Orlando. We're called FC Highland. I'm actually wearing the jersey now.
Beautiful kid.
Thank you, bro. It's pretty nice. We designed it, you know. I'll show you the biceps there too. No, I'm playing. But it's something we started, obviously, during the pandemic. It's going really well. We believe in giving kids opportunities as well. We sponsor and scholarship a lot of kids that can't afford to play. Unfortunately, still the game in America is based on, you know, pay to play. I grew up not having to pay to play for football, and I believe that should be, football's open for everyone. So, you know, we're trying to give that back. We also do a lot of work in the community with the Orlando Union Rescue Mission to help homeless women and children. So we're trying to do the right thing by all the kids. You know, every kid deserves a chance and an opportunity. You know, God is blessing us with a fruitful club as of now that's been picking up speed. So, you know, check us out at FC Highland on Instagram. You know, show us some support, show us some love. Send some funny stuff on there. You never know. We might repost you.
All right, Giles. I mean, you were absolutely beloved in Orlando when we were there. It was clearly obvious. So, applaud you for all the work that you're doing. But, dude, thank you so much for joining
anytime,
us. Everybody
anytime.
Else, make sure you follow us at Soccer Cooligans on all social channels. And make sure you follow at Fubo Sports and subscribe to the Fubo Sports YouTube channel for more clips and full episodes of the show. All right, Giles, let's end the show the way we normally do, as is tradition. So please join us in this. So for Giles Barnes, my name is Christian Polanco.
I'm Alexis Guerreros.
And together, what are we?
The Cooligans!